Thanks, Shirley. Okay, if you've got a Bible with you, if you want to turn to Titus, for those who don't know where it is, it's in the Bible just after 2 Timothy. and just before Philemon and Hebrews. But I'll just pray briefly. Father, in the name of Jesus, may your word do its work in our lives tonight, Lord God, as we just give you thanks for this series on the good, the bad, and the ugly, Lord God, and the opportunity that we have had, Lord, to learn from your word through this series. We bless you for it, Lord, and as it's concluded tonight, Lord God, we pray that you would still speak to us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was just saying in the prayer, tonight is the conclusion of our series, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And for those who maybe don't know, what we were talking about there is the whole focus was on the lives of God's prophet Elijah, who was viewed as good, King Ahab, who was viewed as bad because he wouldn't obey God, and his ugly wife Jezebel. And we make it clear, it wasn't that she wasn't a good-looking woman, but she had ugly ways about her. And so this is the last, in fact, the way it was supposed to be done, it would have been finished by now, but we sort of dragged it out because we knew that next week was Resurrection Sunday. And we wanted to finish off and go into Resurrection Sunday. And then after Resurrection Sunday, we're going to be looking at a few events in the life of Elisha, the prophet who took over from Elijah. And the new series is titled, Following God Ain't All Doom and Gloom. Following God Ain't All Doom and Gloom. Anyway, 2 weeks ago, Keith summarized the Old Testament element of the good, the bad, and the ugly, while last week, Dave showed their existence, the existence of these traits, even in our generation, explaining that the wisest man who ever lived was right about life when he said, all is meaningless. There is nothing new under the sun. Thankfully, that's not where Dave left it, because life isn't completely meaningless. You see, this same wise man, King Solomon, stressed was, without God and walking in God's ways, life is meaningless. You see, King Solomon ends those particular writings in Ecclesiastes with these words. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come. In other words, what he's saying is, get to know God early in life. Don't leave it too late. And then he gives the reason. Fear God and keep his commandments. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. All the good, all the bad, and all of the ugly will be judged by God. Fear God, Solomon said, for he will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So let me ask a question tonight. Take a look around you. Why do you think Shiloh isn't packed to the rafters tonight? What? Because I'm talking. I thought someone would come up with that because it's me speaking. But in seriousness, I'll tell you one view. It isn't packed because the vast majority of people don't fear God. They don't pay any heed to the words of the wisest man that ever lived. They don't fear God, nor have they any desire to obey him or to walk in his ways. They have no concept whatsoever of God bringing every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. You see, if people truly feared God, and by the fear of God, I don't mean be terrified of God, I mean revere him and stand in awe of him. If people truly feared God and sought to walk in his ways, then I believe that this place and every other place of worship in Bangor where God promises to meet with his people, to speak with them and to bless them, would be packed to to capacity. Every church building in Bangor would be packed to overflowing tonight if people really feared God. But here's another sobering thought to consider. Is it possible that many professing Christians don't really fear God? You see, what the Old Testament and Christianity call backsliders are once professing Christians who have lost their fear of God and are no longer walking in His ways. Imagine, for example, if the fear of God was restored in every backslider within this locality alone. I believe the local congregations would be dramatically increased. You see, it seems the fear of God and God bringing every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil, is becoming a rare commodity. Let's turn to Titus, and I'm going to read from chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Moving into chapter 3. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves, Paul saying this to Titus, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceiving, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. You see, the good, the bad, and the ugly, as Dave said, they were not just characteristics and traits found in some Old Testament characters, such as Elijah, Ahab, and Jezebel. And neither were they restricted only to the days of Jesus or to the fledgling church. As we have seen, these characteristics and these traits are very much around today. There's the good, those who follow God and seek to walk in his ways. There's the bad, those who reject God and refuse to walk in his ways. And there's the ugly, those who use ugly ways to get what they want. But I want to put it to you tonight that these characteristics and traits, the good, the bad, and the ugly, can be found in every individual, in every one of us. You see, although we are all born in sin and live, as I say, in sin-cursed bodies in a sin-cursed world, we still have some capacity to do good. Even though we are sinners through and through, we still have some capacity to do good. We each have the capability to do bad. And if circumstances dictate, we can employ ugly ways to get what we want. And this includes Christians, we who profess to fear God and to walk in his ways. B. Because every person is made in the image of God, although that image is marred by sin, we each can do good. Because we are made in the image of God who is good, that image is marred, but it still says that there is some capacity within each of us to do good. But we can also do bad. And we can even practice ugly ways. And yet, no matter how much good we do, it cannot gain us any favor with God. No matter how bad a person is, they cannot escape the all-seeing eyes of God. And whatever ugly ways people employ, they will be judged by God. But the Apostle Paul, writing to Titus, tells us, by the grace of God, by the unmerited favor of God, he sent Jesus, his Son, to give himself for us. In other words, to die for us in our place, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. That means from all the bad and all the ugly. And purify for himself his own special people who are zealous for good works. He came so that he would die, so that we could be forgiven for the bad and the ugly things, and that he would create us as special people unto himself to do good works. Despite our marred goodness, our inherent badness and our ugly ways, God, in his amazing grace, his unmerited favor toward us through Jesus, has provided a way for people under the curse of sin and its consequences to have his image restored in them, to be purified and to be made his own special people who are zealous for good works. And it's wonderful because Paul reminds Titus that they too once did the fleshly good, bad, and ugly things. But God in his kindness saved them through faith in Jesus and renewed them to do good works by his Holy Spirit. God had prepared for them to do. You see, worldly good works, and many, many people, whether they be Christian or not, but many, many people do good works. Many unbelievers do a heck of a lot better good works in that sense, as far as worldly good works are concerned, than even Christians. But worldly good works are nothing more than good works. They are not profitable. In other words, they gain you no favor with God. You can go out and feed all the starving people in Africa. You can go and give a bed to every homeless person on the streets of Bangor. And if it's just a good work by the flesh, it gains you no favor with God whatsoever. It's still a good work, but it's not profitable. But the good works that God gives his people to do are extremely profitable. And these works, when they are brought into judgment, will receive their reward. Life without God is meaningless. There is nothing new under the sun. And the same good, bad, and ugly characteristics are evident today in every one of us. And therefore, we should all take heed of the wise words of King Solomon and do what he says. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Bar Jessica and Joseph, the rest of you are past that stage. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come. In other words, what he's saying is, get to really know God and do it now. Fear God, he says, and keep his commandments. For God will undoubtedly bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Christian, we have been redeemed by Jesus, and we're redeemed to be His own special people. Now, I know sometimes people look at me and say, he's a wee bit special. But I say, yeah, I am. Jesus died so that we would be His own special people, purified for Him to do the good works that He has created for us to do. So, Christian, we need to continue to ask the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to us, to continually help us to renounce the old fleshly, worldly, good, bad, and ugly ways, and to live, as he says here, as the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, soberly, or to Titus, soberly, righteously, and godly in this age. With the Holy Spirit's help, we can do that. We've got to be coming and offering ourselves unreservedly to God and say, help me to forsake the good, bad, and ugly ways of the flesh and of the world, and help me to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this age until we are called to go to be with the Lord. And so, Christian, let's continue, because you've already listened to the words of the wise man. Let's continue to fear God and to walk in His ways. And if we do, then our lives will never be meaningless. Maybe tonight there's someone here and you're not yet a Christian. Maybe someone listening to our podcast via the website and you're not yet a Christian. Or maybe even you're a backslider. Well, I have to tell you that you have either not got the fear of God in your life, or you have lost that sense of the fear of God you once had. Well, I can only advise you to listen to the words of the wisest man who ever lived, to King Solomon. Fear God, he said. Fear God and keep His commandments. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. God commands. He doesn't ask. He doesn't plead. He doesn't beg. God commands all people everywhere to repent and be saved. So will you fear God and do what He says, and by faith in His Son Jesus, be saved, or if you're a backslider, be restored again? Or will you just continue in the good, bad, and ugly ways of the world and the flesh, which in the end will profit you nothing? Remember, God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we want to thank You again this evening for the wonderful series that we have had, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. And tonight, Lord God, as we conclude, we realize that those traits are in every one of us, Christian and unbeliever alike. Thank You that there is in every human being the capacity to do some good. But Lord, we are marred by sin. And none of the good works of the flesh or of the world gain any favor with You at all. They are not profitable. But thank You, Father, that for those who come to know You through Jesus Christ, Your Son, that He who gave Himself for us to purify for Himself His own special people has created so many wonderful good works for us to do that are extremely profitable. So we ask You, Lord Jesus, those of us who know You and love You, that You would help us to walk in those good works and not, Lord, to revert to the flesh, the world, Lord God, or the sinful ways, the good, bad, and ugly that we were so used to. Help us to walk in the good works that you have created us to do by the power of your Holy Spirit. And may we continue to fear you, O God, to love you, to walk in your ways, and to do your will. And I pray, Father, for any unbeliever tonight listening, Lord God, that you would move by the power of your Spirit and show them that no matter how good they think they are, no matter how many wonderful good things they may have done, help them to see, Lord God, that those good works gain no favor with you. No matter how bad they may be, help them to realize, Lord, that there is forgiveness with you. Whatever ugly ways, Lord God, they may have employed in life to get what they want, help them to see that they do not escape the all-seeing eye of God. And may people recognize tonight that there is still forgiveness with you for any who will come to you through Jesus Christ, your Son. And we pray, Lord, that you would draw them onto yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.